The scripture reading this morning is from Genesis, the book of Genesis 21, chapter 21, verses 8 to 20. Hagar and Ishmael sent away. The child grew and was weaned. And on the day Isaac was weaned, Abraham held a great feast. But Sarah was the son whom Hagar the Egyptian had borne to Abraham was mocking. And she said to Abraham, "Get rid of the slave woman and her son, for the slave woman's son will never share in the inheritance with my son Isaac." The matter distressed Abraham greatly because it concerned his son. But God said to him, "Do not be distressed about the boy and your maidservant. Listen to whatever Sarah tells you, because it is through Isaac that your offspring will be reckoned. And I will make the son of maidservant into a nation also, because he is your offspring." Early the next morning, Abraham took some food and a skin of water and gave them to Hagar. He sent them on her shoulders and then sent her off with the boy. She went on her way and wandered in the desert of Beersheba. When the water in the skin was gone, she put the boy under one of the bushes. Then she went off and sat down nearby, about a bow shot away, for she thought, "I cannot watch the boy die." And she sat there nearby. She began to sob. God heard the boy crying, and the angel of God called to Hagar from heaven and said to her, "What is the matter, Hagar? Do not be afraid. God has heard the boy crying as he lies there. Lift the boy up and take him by the hand, for I will make him into a great nation." Then God opened her eyes, and she saw a well of water. So she went and filled the skin with water and gave the boy a drink. God was with the boy as he grew up. He lived in the desert and became an archer. While he was living in the desert of Paran, his mother got a wife for him from Egypt. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for bringing each one of us in your place of worship. We praise your name, we glorify your kingdom, and we ask you now to cleanse our hearts and our minds as the pastor will be delivering your message. And may we apply your message in our lives. In Jesus' blessed name I pray, amen.
Amen. Thank you. I thought this portion in the Bible was very relevant to our world today. First of all, I saw the complications brought into the life of Sarai and Abraham by trying to short-circuit God's plans or bypass God's plans. God has had his own plans, but Sarah had her own personal plans, and that created a difficulty. And then we see the result of trying to disobey God. That is very relevant also today. And then we see here the conflict between two boys that has become the conflict between many millions of people today. And then we see in this story a single mother with a boy trying to look after her son, and her disability, or she wasn't able to find enough food or water to sustain themselves. And we see that today. And then we see in the picture a God's hand always there and God's eyes always following us, no matter what happens. But let's go to the story itself and see what God will give us. Usually, people refer to Abraham as the father of Israel, but actually, Abraham is also the father of the Arab nations. In Genesis 16, we see Sarah is the mother of Israel, and Hagar, Sarah's maidservant, an Egyptian servant, is the mother of the Arab nations. And we read in chapter Genesis 18, 11, and then in Genesis 16, 1, 4, the following. Abraham and Sarah were already old. He was about 85 years old, and Sarah was past the age of childbearing. So she said to Abraham, "The Lord has kept me from having children. Go sleep with my maidservant. Perhaps I can build a family through her." Abraham agreed to what Sarai said, and Sarai, his wife, took her Egyptian maidservant, Hagar, and gave her to her husband to be his wife. He slept with Hagar, and she conceived. But then things started going bad for all three of them. Hagar started to despise Sarai, and Sarai blamed Abraham for all this mess and held him responsible for her suffering. Well, as I said, the result of trying to bypass God creates problems in our lives today also. Abraham, not knowing what to do, he said to Sarai, or Sarah, well, and I'm quoting, "Well, she is your servant, and she is in your hand. Do what her do with her whatever you think is best." Then Sarai started mistreating Hagar, so she fled from her. While Hagar was in the desert, an angel found her and told her, and I'm quoting again, "Go back to Sarai and stay with her, and you will be blessed, and your descendants will be too numerous to count." So Hagar went back, and when the time came, she bore Abraham a son. And Abraham gave the name Ishmael, or Yishmael, which means God pays attention. Abraham was 86 years old by now. But Hagar's problem did not end there. As usually, one problem brings another problem into our life. About 15 years later, Sarai became pregnant and bore a son to Abraham in his old age of 100 years old. Abraham named his son Isaac, or Yitzhak, which means laughter. When Sarai saw that Ishmael and Isaac were not getting along, she asked Abraham to get rid of her and her son. She simply did not want Ishmael to share in the inheritance of Isaac. It sounds very up-to-date story today. This argument or this rivalry still continues. And so Abraham took some food and water and gave it to Hagar and her son and sent her off with her boy. Now Hagar became a single mother trying to take care of a son. And again, today I get phone calls and I meet mothers, and rarely fathers, of course, with children, but I have met fathers with children that they have to take care of. But usually mothers, single mothers, trying to look after 1, 2, 3, 4, even 5 children on their own. And it is very difficult, and sometimes when I read this story, I can visualize her agony alone in the desert, has a 15-year-old son who is about to die because there is no water, no one cares, and she feels that, what is this God? Why is allowing this injustice to take place? Until she saw things change, she had that question in her heart. Why? She went on her way and wandered in the desert, as many today wander in a desert of, as I said, there may be 2 or 3 million people in Montreal, but there are many who feel lost in a desert, spiritually lost, emotionally lost, no jobs maybe, and they struggle to be able to sustain themselves and their families. So Hagar was, she found herself in that kind of a situation until her water supply was finished and they could go no more. Sometimes your patience, your people run out of patience, run out of compassion, and they just want to die. And we see and hear stories of fathers killing their children and their wife, and in despair doing terrible things. And we condemn them, judge them. Obviously, the act has to be judged, but we don't know what was going on in the heart and in the life of that family. Her son, who by now was tired running here and there to find some water, collapsed, and it seemed that he was too weak to continue. His mother put him under a bush to die, and she went and sat down nearby and started crying out and weeping. Her son was dying, and there was nothing she could do. And here often I've heard, I know one particular mother that I was talking to about a week ago, she said, I have 3 children, Pastor, and sometimes I don't know what to do. It's not only the food, but it's how to help them and how to protect them. And sometimes I feel that this would just disappear. Let's look at this scene. Hagar and Ishmael are thrown out in the desert. Hagar's son is dying under the bush, and Hagar is crying and sobbing. But it seems that the boy also was doing his crying and praying too. Hagar probably thought that no one knew or cared what was happening to them. Have you ever felt that you are alone in this earth? On this earth? And do you ever think that even though you have a family around you, you feel so lonely and alone? Well, here Hagar had a large family, but now she found herself alone with a dying son. But she was wrong. Someone knew and was following their every step, and their every tear was being noticed. She was wrong. We are wrong to think that no one cares. Genesis 21:17 says, God heard the boy crying, and the angel of God called to Hagar from heaven and said to her, what is the matter, Hagar? Do not be afraid. God has heard the boy's crying, and the boy is crying as he lies there. And again, oftentimes, even I, when I pray, sometimes I will just wonder and say, God, do you really care what I'm saying to you right now? Is this so trivial? Is this so small? There are millions of people that you're taking care of, and here I come to you with my own problem. And then the devil encourages me to go on and start bellyaching and then complaining until the voice of the Holy Spirit comes telling me, what's the matter with you, Joseph? Don't you know that God is there watching you? You've been preaching that from the pulpit. Why don't you practicing in your own life? God cares. God cares what happens to you, what happens to your wife, what happens to your grandchildren, to your daughters, to the church members, to the relatives. He cares to what happens to anyone. And if God watches over a sparrow, why would he watch over me? And if God cares for the sparrow, why wouldn't He care for us? Yes, often we feel neglected, and often we feel that God has turned His face away from us, and we feel lonely and helpless and useless. But God cares. I mean, can you imagine God, the Creator, cared for Ishmael, that little boy, and Hagar? And not only He cared, but also He spoke to them. And He said, "Do not be afraid," the angel said. "God has heard the boy crying as he lies there. Even our tears are seen." Not only God knew what was happening to them, He actually cared about the tears. Why? Why does God care about what happens to me? And I couldn't answer that question until I realized that God has created me. And I remember that God, because God has created me, part of Him, part of His breath is in me. So what happens to me affects God also. And God cares for the father who is neglected or sick. He cares for the mother who has been thrown out or left to take care of the children. He cares for the children who have been thrown out of their houses and are downtown. If you go, you see all these kids, and sometimes we say, "Wow, what is this with them? Why don't they go and wash themselves?" But we never ask the question, why are they there? It could be a family problem. It could be whatever it is. God cares. Abraham, Sarai, and the entire community may have rejected and wronged them, but God cared and loved them. Maybe your family has rejected you, or maybe the church has rejected you, or turned their backs against you, and maybe you at work you have problems. And I tell you, this morning in our adult class, someone was saying that it's not easy to coexist in an office with someone that you sometimes can't like. And it's true, but God cares even about your feelings and your emotions. She did whatever she was asked to do, and yet she was thrown out of her house. Yes, Hagar and Ishmael had been wronged by men. As a matter of fact, they had been wronged by men of God. She was wronged by a man of God, a leader. As a matter of fact, the greatest leader that ever lived in those days was Abraham for them. And until today, many nations, Arabic nations, and the Jews and Christians, almost anyone who has some religious background will look at Abraham and say, "He is our father," or "He is a great leader." And yet he was the one who threw her out. And she was wronged by a man of God. She did whatever she was asked to do. She had seen Abraham at prayer. She had admired his courage and faith. She had also known him in his weakness, but she had always remained faithful. But now she had been rejected, wounded, and wronged by this great man of God. Have you ever been wounded by a professing Christian? You may say, "Oh yeah." And you thought no one cares what happens to you? Remember Hagar and Ishmael. God cared for them. And He cares for you and me. Why did God ask Hagar? What is the matter, Hagar? As a matter of fact, I went into the Jewish, literal Jewish translation of the New Testament. It says, in there it says, "What's wrong with you, Hagar?" There is something wrong, God says with Hagar's attitude. Why has she forgotten that God cares? Well, it's not easy. It's not easy to be rejected and thrown out and yet not worry and not cry and not weep when you see your family member dying. Is it because God did not know what was happening to her? Of course not. God knows everything. Or was it something like this? That's my scenario. What is the matter, Hagar? Don't you know I care? Have you forgotten what I said to you when you were running away from Sarai? Didn't I say that I will bless you and I will increase your descendants? Well, it's easy for us to get depressed. When things don't work out the way we want them to work out right now, right here, now, we get depressed. But God has His own plan. And God puts that seed and wants you to wait until that seed is ready to give fruit. It's like when you plant a seed at home, you wait for it. And Sarai was expected to wait a little more to see God's promises that God was going to make a big, great nation out of Ishmael. And He did. He kept His promises. I wonder, under the same circumstances, how would you and I do? Would we remember God and His promises or fall apart? The other day I was telling my wife, you know what? God has been blessing us. God has blessed our home. God has blessed the ministry, the church. And I said, couldn't He do it when I was younger? Now I've lost my strength and I'm not strong enough to do all the things I would have done when I was young. And then, have you ever prayed a prayer and you got the answer right away and you say, if I had the answer, how come I prayed this prayer? But you didn't have the answer. It's the answer that has come right away because God cares and God hears your prayer. And God said to me in my heart through the Holy Spirit, you fool, if I had given you all these blessings then, you would have messed up everything because you were not ready yet to deal with this. You are not ready. You are not mature enough. You are crazy. And I knew that. That's why I didn't bless you then. But Lord, you can't argue with God. Well, you can, but you always lose. I wonder. I wonder where we are. Are we like Hagar right now? Almost wishing to die or disappear, when actually there is water there, and we'll see in a few seconds that God had prepared everything. All He wanted us is to trust Him. Hagar had started her journey with some bread and water, but now her bread was finished and her water was gone, and so she thought they were about to die. And while she was crying over her problems, bitterness was filled in her heart against Sarai and Abram. One of the problems when we become depressed is we start thinking stuff. And we start enjoying bitterness. And bitterness becomes so deadly that we start hating others. And Sarai was almost in that process. She wanted to sort of feel so miserable about herself. But God told her not to. He said not to grieve over her problems. Hold grudges or hate anyone. And nurse her wounds. Because sometimes that's what we do. We take a wound and we nurse it and we rub it and we put stuff on it and we don't let it heal. We just enjoy taking care of that particular wound rather than allow time to heal that wound. there was water within reach, and God promises to her and her descendants that they will be blessed. God has provided for all our needs, and He has promised more and eternal blessings to all those who remain faithful to Him. There is water within reach for you. You don't need to go back to the old things and places. And I believe that often there is water right there, but we don't see it because we are so aggravated. We are so blinded by despair and anger. And we look back in the past and we see the good old days or the bad old days or the days or whatever they were, and we are consumed with those thoughts, and we don't let God to say, hey, wake up, look what I have prepared for you. And God speaks to us and says, look, there is water there. And we say, well, leave me alone, don't. But God has prepared things for us. All He wants us to do is just pay attention to Him and look. Hagar's response was positive. She right away filled the bottle, the skin, and gave water to Ishmael. There was enough water available to sustain life for this troubled mother and her son. Again, there is no limit to God's blessings. Yeah, we want more and now and the way we want it to come to us and the amount and the color and I don't know. It's like praying for a young girl or a young lady or a young man praying for a spouse or a partner and then describing to God what kind of partner she or he want. Where God actually, when God actually has in His mind something much greater than what we describe to Him. And the saying that don't wish for anything because you may get it, as true even for the Christians. We sometimes get what we insist of getting rather than what God wants us to have. There is plenty of living water to give eternal life to all those who will drink from it. You see, the water is there. But unless Sarai went with her bottle and took that water and brought it to her son, they would have died. There is a lot of living water there. God has provided living water, but people won't even try to go and pick that water or drink from that water. People would rather sit down in their homes and mope around or get depressed than go to the Bible and read it and pray and speak to God. They would rather stay home than go to a Bible study or a church activity because they feel so miserable. They don't want to see all these hypocrites there. But God says to them, don't look at the bushes around there, look at the water. And God says, don't look at the hypocrites, look at Me. There are hypocrites. The churches are full of hypocrites, if you wish. We all sometimes pretend to be someone else. We all pretend to be whatever people want us to look like or sound like. But God is not, we're not God. God is there, the living water. We must look for the living water. There are those who feel rejected or lost in a dry, hostile desert, searching to find some comfort, some satisfaction, but all in vain. Because they are spiritually blind, they cannot see the spring of living water which is right there within their reach. It took an angel of God to tell Hagar about the water which saved her and her son's life. And it does take angels today to speak to you. God may speak to you through the singing of Elise, may speak to you through the prayer of someone, may speak to you through this message. And I hope and pray that this message is not mine, but is God. About 2,000 years ago, God, seeing how hopelessly we were lost in the desert, of life in this desert, he sent his son, Jesus, to come and die on the cross to save us. He is the living water that gives eternal life. Have you drank from that, from this living water? And if you have, will you introduce it to others? The ladies watched it yesterday. We, the men, watched it about 10 days ago, a little DVD. And in there, there was a suggestion, or at least a statement. And this gentleman said, Christian life is, or being Christian is, or the message of Christ is like two bookends. One is knowing Christ, and one bookend, and the other is introducing, sharing Christ to others. And I believe that's what our responsibility is. Churches who grow and become big, and all they think is how to entertain themselves, may look active and alive, but they are dead because Christ is not being introduced to others. The person who says, I'm saved, I'm born again, believer, and praise the Lord, all day praises the Lord, but doesn't reach out to bring these blessings to others, has only one bookend. We must know Christ and share him with others, introduce him to others. Will you invite others to come to the source of living water and tell them of Christ and his love? Just remember that there are many who, like Hagar and Ishmael, are dying spiritually, and all they need is someone like you to show them the way to the living water. Jesus is the Savior, the living water. And I believe that unless we do that, we have failed our mission as ambassadors of Christ. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we thank you. We thank you for providing everything we need, but thank you more than anything else for the living water that has saved us from eternal death. Your blood which was shed on the cross has brought life, has washed away our sins, and has revived us, and we thank you. Please be with each one of us today. Help us to continue this journey of life, knowing that you are always there, caring for us, and walking with us in this walk. In your blessed name I pray, amen.